All right, enough of all that god-awful music. This is the Unhappy Gilmore Show, part of the Green Legion Radio family. I am your host for the next hour-ish. So, unhappy Wednesday, everyone. Coming to you live here from Facebook jail once again. I don't know how many times that's actually happened to me, but a little too much, to be perfectly honest with you. Anyways, pull up a chair. You know, take a listen on the company dime if you're still working. Always my preferred method. As I like to say, get through. I help you get put a cherry on top of this third day of this week's hostage situation and look forward to Friday Eve tomorrow. And also, you know, Thursday night football, right? We're going to be back at it tomorrow. I know everybody's happy the NFL's back. I am happy about it, too, even though I do talk a lot of baseball on here. I'm sure, I'm sure a lot of you are happy that the focus is going to shift here to pretty much all football. We are going to mix it up still here, though. I keep saying it every week, and I'll keep saying it every week. I am not going to just – it's like I've said before. If I just continue to talk about Eagles football, then we're going to have 3-4 shows a week that are strictly talking Eagles football. I think we need to spread it around a little bit. So – obviously focused on the birds is when it comes to football, but we're going to touch on the rest of the league too. Who do we got in the room? I want the room live today. Last couple of weeks, we've had a couple of great guests come on and my buddy Sam 2 weeks ago and then Fito last week. So I want to thank both of them again, for their time. And, hopefully we can do some of that again. This week, no guests, nobody that I plan to come on here, but if anybody would like to come on here, as long as you feel you have the bandwidth, go ahead and click that link right there. We can try to bring you on if you want to talk some football or whatever. Are you guys getting a heat wave out there on the East Coast too? Or is that just us here in the Midwest? We just closed the pool this past weekend and now it's going to be like 90 degrees and sunny the whole weekend here. So that's annoying. But for us here, my wife, my lovely wife, Michelle, she handles pretty much all the pool stuff. As far as the chemicals and everything, any kind of the pump breaks down or needs to be unscrewed or moved around or whatever. Of course, I take care of that. But as far as the chemicals and keeping it clean and stuff, that is predominantly my wife. And she had a particularly tough summer with it. So it was, we were on and off with algae, nothing that's harmful to anyone, but it was just a pain in the ass. So we got after Labor Day and it was kind of like, all right, look, the weather should start to calm down. We don't know how many more opportunities we're really going to get out of this anyways. Is it worth 2 more weeks of dealing with this crap, just to get maybe another day or two out of swimming? So closed the pool down this past weekend. And of course this weekend, nice and sunny and 90 degrees. Who do we got over here in the room anyways? I saw Lou Mancini. My man, how you doing? Rob Huffler. How we are? The Aaron Judge fan. Loving it. We'll get to him in a minute. Desi. Hey, hey, hey. Desi, the owner of the greatest breakfast, at bare minimum this side of the Mississippi River. Every time she's on here, I'm going to call that out. And no, you can't have any. David Califoot. What's up, my man? What's up from Green Bay, he says, huh? What in the blue hell are you doing up there? Wardell Ward. Go Birds. Eagles, yeah, go Birds, buddy. Yep. Fito. Not happy with week one. I don't blame you, but we're going to talk about that too. I don't think there's reason for panic for some of these teams that are starting to panic a little too early. Fito and Desi, I saw a post earlier today. Again, I am in Facebook jail, so I can't comment or like or do anything. I did see a post. Congratulations. Happy anniversary. As soon as I can get on there and actually be able to comment and stuff, I'll be sure to call out how much of a saint Desi is for putting up with your shit for the last 10 years. Thanks again for your time last week, too, bud. That was really great. I'm going to kick it off with baseball, but real brief. We did a lot of baseball last 2 weeks. I do just want to touch on Aaron Judge. 57 home runs coming in today. It looks like he's going to get there. It looks like he is going to pass Roger Maris, or at least tie Roger Maris, for what right now technically is considered the American League home run, single season home run record. I have trouble with Barry Bonds. I have, you know, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, all of those guys with the steroids. So it's tough for me to, you know, to call them home run champs, but you know, the record book is the record book. And, right now there's no asterisk or calling it anything different. So, you know, technically Judge would be the American League home run champ if he passes Roger Maris. I think he will. He needs four to tie him, five to get past him, and we still got 3 weeks left of the season. I don't really see him having much of an issue getting there. I think the only question with Aaron Judge now is, does he stay so hot that he starts to garner, so, you know, are people going to start saying, holy shit, is he going to make a run at a triple crown here with his batting average? He already leads in homers and RBIs and pretty much everything else under the sun. Is he going to make a run at batting average too and make a run at the triple crown? And then of course the biggest question is going to be whether or not, the American League MVP should be Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani. Listen to me very, very carefully, everyone. I am not in any way, shape, or form trying to say that Shohei Ohtani isn't deserving of it. What I am going to say is that he plays on an absolutely awful team. Now, it's not all his fault, but that team is awful with or without him. Given the Yankees' struggles in the second half of this season, if Aaron Judge isn't on this roster, the Yankees are already out of first place and likely still sliding down the wild card rankings as well. Okay, that man means that much to that team. So I'm on a couple of Facebook pages where, yeah, some of these guys get to be a little bit knuckleheads. But my point, when you know, immediately I say, look, it should be this year it should be Aaron Judge. Okay. And of course I get attacked for it because most people out there, let's face it, I'm sure a lot of you on here, most folks are what? You're Yankee haters. Okay. That's what you are. It's okay to be a Yankee hater. What's not okay is to be delusional. Lou Mancini, who was the last triple crown? Last triple crown was, I believe it's still Miguel Cabrera, with Detroit some years back. Yeah, it's okay to be a Yankee hater. It's not okay to be delusional. It's not okay to be such a hater that you struggle to just admit anyone who has trouble admitting that Aaron Judge is the American League MVP this year, and personally, I don't even think the vote should be that close, please do me a favor and go take a look at the categories in which Aaron Judge leads his league, okay? It's home runs, it's RBIs, it's runs scored, it's on-base percentage, it's slugging, it's walks, it's intentional walks, it's OPS, and the list goes on and on. And in many of those categories, he's not only leading, it's not even close. Like, he's leading by such a wide margin that nobody's going to catch him. Nobody even threatens it, and nobody has threatened it for a while now. He's also, for your advanced metric folks, or I'm not a big fan of him. I like the eye test better, but WAR, wins above replacement, which is a fan favorite for a lot of the analytics folks. He leads that as well. Yes, over Shohei Ohtani. I throw all those stats out there, and of course, I'm a Yankee homer. Okay, well, you know what? I happen to pride myself on being an incredibly honest Yankees fan. Case in point this year. I think we're probably going to hold on and win the division, but I don't see an October run here in the future for the Pinstripes. So and I have no trouble admitting that. I've had no trouble admitting it in any year. But this Aaron Judge versus Shohei Ohtani thing this year, it's Aaron Judge's award. Okay. Now, if he goes into a slump over these last 3 weeks and the Yankees fall out of first place, different conversation. Then maybe Shohei's got to make another. You're too hung up on the pitching stats from Shohei Ohtani. So here's my final answer with it. It's Aaron Judge's award this year, unless him and the team fall on their face over these final 3 weeks. I mean, really fall flat. Shohei Ohtani is the most talented athlete in Major League Baseball. Okay. from what he can do in all facets of the game, he is the most talented. I won't question that. And that's where you have to factor in the fact that he can pitch. Okay? But the most talented doesn't mean you're the most valuable in a given year. Okay? So Shohei's the most talented overall. Aaron Judge is the most valuable player this season. All right? And again, I challenge anyone to just go look up the sheer numbers. You're going to come at me with the pitching stats for Ohtani, and I get it, but I'm sorry. Judge has been so much better than everyone else at the plate, and he is still the best player on a first place team. It happens to mean something. It's Judge's award. And especially if he passes Maris, God forbid, makes a run at that Triple Crown, all bets, then you can forget it. Shohei could come out and win the next three in a row. But I think Shohei really needs to get off of the Angels, or the Angels need to get their crap together and actually put a good pitching staff together. Some other guys around him and Trout to make some noise out there. There's no, to have two guys like Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout on your team and not be able to even sniff the postseason, it's criminal, is really what it is. What am I missing over here? Is he still the leader of K's, dude? No, he is not. He is not Calafoot. So there's that. Judge stinks. All right. Keenan Harmon, there he is. Let's beat Gannon's ass on this show. My man, we are going to get there here in just a minute. I did want to touch on the Aaron Judge stuff. And guys, the Aaron Judge thing and the Yankees thing, it's going to be a thing. As we come down the stretch and baseball's regular season winds down and we look at the postseason, it's going to be a thing. Whether I'm praising what the Yankees are doing or I'm bashing them for what they're doing wrong. Everyone remembers my midsummer bitch fest about Gallo as a knob. So I have no trouble calling out any of these knuckleheads either. What else am I missing? Lou and Fito having their own little conversation here. Ah, yeah, he's talking football. Right. So I'm going to get off baseball now, guys. You guys, I've given you huge doses of baseball over the last couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, my friend Sam and I on here, we've been having talks about the Yankees for 30 years together. Last week, Fito and I, both Yankee fans again, but I thought what Fito brought to the table last week with his knowledge of baseball in Latin America and, some things he saw when he was growing up, I really, really enjoyed all that, and I hope you guys did too. Lou Mancini, if Harper can win it for a non-playoff team, I believe Judge got this. Yeah, Lou, the only problem is if the Yankees end up being a non-playoff team at this point with 3 weeks to go and six games up in first place, I don't really care what Judge does at that point. If the Yanks from this point, six games up in the division, 3 weeks to go, if the Yanks fall all the way out of playoff contention from here, Judge can't be the MVP at that point. I would tell you if we fall out of the division, he might be in trouble for the award. I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're going to hang on, but that's why they play the games. Anyways, let me get off of baseball, y'all. Week one of the football season, right? We wait for it. We wait for it. We wait for it. And it's finally here and everybody's excited and Buffalo comes out and stomps a mud hole in the Rams' ass, which was absolutely fantastic. I think I've said it on here a few times. I know I've said it on Right on Cue. I do very much have a slight man crush on Josh Allen. And that kid came out last Thursday in the second half and absolutely torched the Rams. But that's a week old. We want to talk about Sunday, the big day, of course, our boys. Let's get right to it. What did I tell everyone on Right on Cue and on here? Does anybody remember? You cannot come out flat against the team coached by Dan Campbell. They're not as talented as us, but it's not like they're slouch either, and they are going to be prepared. And so we saw that right from the jump. We saw our offensive line struggle mightily with the Detroit pass rush, which looks vastly different with Aiden Hutchinson there now. That kid looks like he's as advertised. You know, they started lining up Hutchinson and I forget who their other the other defensive end. They have two, Hutchinson, and then they have another that's a really strong pass rusher. They started lining them up like kind of right on top of one another to mess with the offensive line, and it worked to the point where for most of the game, for a lot of the game, Jalen Hurts was running for his life. Now, he scrambled 17 times for 90 yards. Look, I just don't think that that is a sustainable offensive plan. Okay. We're going to have to do a better job up front. Jalen cannot be running for his life like that. And you don't want him to. You love the fact that he can scramble. You love the fact that he can pull it down and get you the first down. But what you don't love about that is the increased hits he's going to take. We saw it during the preseason. We saw it a couple of times on Sunday. You know, they're going to take shots. And when you leave the backfield, technically you're supposed to be a runner at that point. And, you know, guys are going to come launching themselves. It's not always the defender's fault either. You know, this is how fast these men are moving. And that defender's got a split second to make a decision on where he thinks the ball carrier is going to be, and he puts himself into position for that. Well, then all of a sudden the ball carrier turns a different direction, and now you have a helmet-to-helmet problem. Or, you know, just a hit that looks awful. So, look, I love Hurts' athletic ability. I think he did what he had to do on Sunday. I'm not knocking him at all. This is much more of an offensive line problem for me. The good news is I think we are that talented up front, and I think you'll see that change. I think you'll see that fix itself. You know, do I think there's something to the whole lack of contact and, you know, lack of reps during the preseason? Yeah, there probably is. But I don't know how much we can really use that as an excuse when a lot of the league is doing that. Now, the Detroit Lions are not. Dan Campbell's not that guy. He wants his boys out there. He made a freaking celebrity out of himself on Hard Knocks. So, you know, I wasn't all that surprised at the start of the game. What did surprise me is this. Y'all, we were two series into the football game. Two. Okay? They had the ball once and we had the ball once. And my phone was blowing up with nothing but sheer panic from a couple of different Birds fans. One of which I called out last night when we were both on Right on Cue. Sam, I love you, darling, but that was way too soon. Now she had to tease the show for me a little bit today, and tag me in it because I can't, because I'm in Facebook jail. So. And she wanted someone to let her know if I was picking on her with the text. Ah, there she is. No, I'm not gonna. You gotta shut up. Let the game breathe a little bit. Let them get into it. All right. Look, I know it wasn't a pretty start, but the start is not where I had trouble. Once we got through the first few possessions. And things kind of settled down. Keaton, you don't need to snitch. She's already on here and heard me call her out again. Once things did settle down, we really, really took over that football game. Okay. You know, Hurts looked like he was starting to throw with confidence from the pocket as the line started protecting more. The defense settled in and, you know, Detroit, three and out, three and out, three and out. And we took control to the tune of a 17-point lead at one point. And it's at that point where I have discussed and where I get upset. Don't get me wrong. The beginning of the game was frustrating, but once you're up like that, to then allow them to come back and retake control of the game, that is where I got pissed. So 17-point lead, and I don't know how many other of you in here are Penn State fans. I know English is, but I haven't seen him in here. The play calling from the point when we took that 17-point lead, into really where we all of a sudden had to like start scrambling to try to score again, they took their foot off the gas, way too soon, in my opinion, offensively and defensively. Defensively, and Keenan, here's your moment. Defensively, I'm not sure how much the foot was ever really on the gas. This man does not blitz. I mean, he just comes out with a 4-2-5 defense, and that's it. Like, there's no creativity. At least it doesn't look like it on, watching it. And I try to watch the trenches. You know, I'm not just watching the quarterback drop back. I'm trying to watch the trenches, too. And I just don't see, there's no blitz, nothing to disrupt, nothing to add a wrinkle in there that the Lions would have to be, you know, concerned with. I mean, it's great that you want to get pressure with your front four. I think that's the goal of every team, but you help them by throwing in some blitz packages and making that offensive line, those linemen have to be aware of other things going on. You can't just line up four dudes and say, go get them, and everyone else is going to drop into cover. It's just so vanilla. It looked terrible. So I had a friend today tell me I needed to watch Gannon's press conference yesterday. I hadn't watched it yet. It's something I do usually do to try to pick out some stuff. But so on my lunch break today, I pulled it up on YouTube and I watched and listened. Even his press conference is vanilla. Like, I wasn't at all surprised with what he was saying. Now, look, not everything he was saying was wrong. I mean, there's certain things you just can't say, I guess. But one thing he did say that struck me a little odd was that he, you know, when they game plan on defense, that he game plans obviously with Sirianni, right? Him and the head coach obviously working hand in hand, but that they also include Howie. Does that not strike anyone else as odd? Why is Howie that far into the details? I mean, I'm not saying anyone should be overly shocked by it, but isn't it just a little odd? Like, he doesn't need to be that deep into it. You got to let these guys coach without being up their ass. And if that's another guy in the room who thinks that just rushing four every down is the right way to go, well, then maybe Q was onto it last night when he's talking about Lori being up in his attic over his garage with his East versus West games that he's watching. But I found it to be very, very vanilla. I thought the whole press conference was vanilla. The Howie comment was too much. There she is, Sam. Absolutely. I've been saying this. Sam, I'm on your side. There's Samantha, our favorite Mrs. Sam Brady. I've been saying this. Go away, Howie. Why is he that involved? Is there another GM that sits there and tries to input on game planning for said week? I find that obnoxious. Again, I don't know how much we really want to be surprised by it, but I find it obnoxious. What do we have here? Maria, very odd how he needs to get out of the weeds. Agreed. 100% agreed. Keenan, with this roster, our defense should be people in the blue tent every down. Totally agree with you, bud. And Lou, Davis needs to play. You don't trade up for a guy and do this. Okay, now we're going to move on to that. Okay, this is another thing with Gannon and that press conference again today. So there's a stat Sunday. So when Jordan Davis was on the field, and I called this out last night talking to Q. Sam, you had already left, so I don't know if you were aware of this. With Jordan Davis on the field, the Detroit Lions were averaging 2.9 yards per carry. With Jordan Davis off the field, they were averaging 10 yards per carry. 10 yards per carry with Davis off the field. Now, what's the problem with that? Davis only played 22 snaps. I mean, what's the deal? I agree with the statement. You don't move up to take this kid and then have him sitting there. Look, especially when Barnett went down, I thought we'd see more of Davis on the field. I thought you could have moved Fletch out onto the outside. They actually did move Fletch out onto the end position a few times, which is something that Q, Sam, and I talk about on Tuesdays, that kind of jumbo defensive line set. But, you know, when it came to the press conference, Gannon was asked, about Davis and asked about those stats. Why was Davis only out there for 22 plays? And he danced around it. The dude did not give a straight up answer. He danced around it. And I don't know what's more concerning there. Is this a thing where, like Q's been saying, is Davis not quite there yet in football shape, ready to take on more snaps? Or is this Gannon being clueless? I mean, or is it a combination of both? It could be some of both. What I do know is Gannon not pressuring the quarterback, which is the last thing I'm going to get to about his damn press conference. They asked him about the pass rush, pressure on Goff. They didn't get to him, right? They got to him once on a botched snap. You know, I mean, as far as actually dumping him, you know, for the sack. And we got some pressure on him, the interception. The pick six was a lot, rushed the throw, but wasn't consistent pressure on him. And he was asked about it. And he said he was happy with the pass rush and that, that they recognized that Detroit had their game plan to get the ball out quick and that, that Gannon and his defense, had to make adjustments. How many adjustments did anyone see him actually make? Because I didn't see him. If Detroit is trying to get the ball out quicker, then you have got to bring some heat. You've got to get in there quicker then. Gannon, frustrating play calling again and frustrating press conference. So, my buddy that asked me to listen to that today, I thank you for the additional content there. It will remain nameless on here for a couple different reasons. Let me get back over to the room here for a minute because I've been kind of going off here. Gannon pisses me off. I'll be straight up with everybody on that. I don't like the vanilla. I think you have to bring blitzes. I think, nobody's asking him to be Jim Johnson. Okay. But you've got a ton of talent on this roster at every single level of the defense. Blitz. Go after him. Look, Jared Goff does not have a big enough arm to beat you downfield. Okay. So he wants to get the ball out quicker. Make him rush that throw even more. Speed that internal clock up. Make the offensive lineman's eyes have to be aware of more than just this guy in front of me. We're not doing any of that. And, week one, all right, maybe things change against Minnesota, but it's not like he did a lot of it last year either with his play calling. So this doesn't feel like just a week one thing. This feels like a Gannon type of scheme. And that press conference, he said a lot without really saying anything. And it was pretty freaking annoying, to be honest with you. Howie go home. Lou Mancini, I'm assuming this was about Howie. Makes me want to vomit. Me too. Russ, how you doing, bud? Keenan, Howie and Jeff should watch the blitz packages the Lions sent our way Sunday. You ain't shitting, brother. Wayne Miller. Very skeptical of Gannon also, but remember there is a rookie wall. Hopefully they are planning on increasing his snaps as we go forward. 17 plus weeks in the NFL is a lot tougher than 12 in college. And I think that's very fair. I really do. Wayne, thank you for that. I think that's very, very fair. And I am considering that as well. I think it's probably a combination of both. Davis needing to kind of build to that. He in the preseason, in his snaps, he did look a little sluggish. He's a big guy. So, it's going to take some time, I guess. But when there's that drastic of a difference, the defensive coordinator, in yards per carry, when a particular player is on the field, the defensive coordinator's got to be aware of that. And, maybe it was time to increase it even just a little bit. Because good Lord, other than that, 10 yards a carry? Yikes. All right, Sam, I don't hate them rotating, but you're 100% right. There's a lack of pressure. Yeah, I think we all know it, right? There's no blitzing going on. And, I get it. Jim Johnson, I brought up Jim Johnson. I know it's a sobering thing. When is Mark Byrd, when is Fangio taking over the defense? Man, look, we get Fangio in here. Now we're cooking with fire. That's for sure. Keenan, if he doesn't blitz, the Vikings will destroy us. And I told you guys, I wanted to interact more with the room this week. I didn't interact much with you guys over the last 2 weeks. Just, you know, I had the guests on here. So, you know, we're going to make this about you guys this week. So I want all the feedback. I want all the opinions. And I'll keep trying to go back and forth here. You know, look, the offense did its job on Sunday, 31 points. Jalen did what he had to do despite the offensive line being very inconsistent. Miles Sanders looked really well, you know, got into the end zone for the first time since 2020. Nice to see. Gainwell does his thing as catching passes out of the backfield. Boston Scott gets a touchdown. And AJ Brown looked absolutely every bit the part of the animal we thought we were trading for on draft day. So, you know, I would have liked to see a little bit more Goddard. Definitely we're going to need to see more out of the Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae over there. So I hope that changes going into Monday night's game. That's, you know, AJ Brown, I think he can be that AJ Brown week in and week out, but sooner or later, if we don't involve Devontae, you know, they're just going to start keying even more heavily on AJ. And then if Devontae can't step up from there, we've got a big problem. So we got to get everybody going. And I think Devontae and Goddard need to be high on that list come Monday night. And the offensive line, you know, Quimby brought it up last night. They did. They looked a lot more comfortable run blocking than they did pass blocking. Do I think it's a cause to panic? No. I don't think anything that happened on Sunday is a cause to panic. Aside from the fact that all we saw from Gannon was a continuation of his very vanilla defensive play calling from last season. Okay. That's the only place I would say we need to, kind of maybe be a little worried. What do we got here? Obie Boyd, my man, how you doing? Obie's a young man that when I was traveling for work, I, had the pleasure of, meeting him and, working with him at a site in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania. And I see him on Facebook all the time. Seems to be doing very well. Very proud of him. Always want good things for you, Obi. I always told you the sky was the limit for you, bud. So you keep doing you. Again, the offense, get the line. You know, the line's got some things to figure out. I think Goddard's got to get a little bit more involved. And obviously Devontae needs to. We want to see that level out, right? We want to see that AJ Brown, Devontae thing kind of level out. And then from there, you know, week to week, whoever's got the hot hand or whoever's, you know, got the weak coverage on them or whatever. That's the way we want to go. Oh, jeez. Still the best boss I ever had. Well, thanks, man. It's easy to be a good leader when you got people, you know, working with you who are, you know, they invest in themselves. You know, and you did, you know, you and Angel both. So, that means a lot to me though. Thank you. Lou, what do we got here? I'm worried Hurts has tunnel vision when it comes to AJ and needs to take off the blinders. Okay. So one thing I am going to say about Jalen, and again, don't get me wrong. He played a good game. All right. I think he did what he had to do based on the inconsistency of the blocking on the line. My area of concern. With Jalen, when you scramble and you leave the pocket, the receivers take off. I don't get the feeling that Jalen's eyes are looking downfield. Okay. I think he's looking at what defender he's got to elude and only that. Like, I think he's just looking at it as I have to elude this defender so that I can run for the first down rather than let me try to deke this defender so I can buy myself a second. To let one fly. All right. And I really would, even if it gets picked off here and there, I really would like to see him when he's got to leave the pocket, just haul off back and let one go. Because I, you know, we've talked a lot about the struggles with his arm strength and I'd really like to see some of that put to bed. Now he did have that nice deep ball to AJ. And I mean, that thing, very nice touch on the pass. I didn't get the feeling that it was so much a have to throw it 30 yards up to get it 30 yards downfield. I thought that was very much a an on purpose, you know, rainbow air under it. And boy, did he drop that thing right in the bucket to AJ. Beautiful throw. And then AJ on the end. Look, if that safety doesn't come over and help, he's going to drag that little corner into the end zone. And like Q said last night, had that happened at the link, forget it. Place would have gone bananas. If there would be a roof on it, would have blown right off. So look, guys, overall, the birds, look, a win is, you see it right here, a win is a win is a win. Okay? It was sloppy to start. We had, you know, a nice momentum going for a while, and then things got hairy. I think a lot due to some very conservative play calling a little too early in the game that allowed Detroit to build momentum and kept our defense on the field a little too much. And then, of course, the vanilla play calling on defense. So areas to clean up, those would be the ones you want to look at. Tough matchup coming Monday night against Minnesota. Quimby has picked this one as the only game we're going to lose in our first eight. I think that's bold. But, you know, given our schedule being what it is, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. But the Vikings are going to be tough. You know, if you think Detroit and DeAndre Swift is going to run for 144 yards, well, I got news for you. Minnesota's run game's no peach either. And you can't exactly sneak up and stack the box against them either, which is something I thought we could have done a better job of against Detroit, because who the hell is afraid of Jared Goff? I'm not telling you got to fear Cousins, especially on a primetime game where he's 8-17 in his career, but you do need to fear his receivers. Justin Jefferson, all kidding aside, Justin Jefferson can make his own case for being the receiver in the league. Him, Devontae, Diggs, guys like that. Yeah, and on the other side, you got Adam Thielen. So you know, you can't, you're not going to have the luxury of stacking the box against Minnesota. So we're going to have to, you know, again, it's going to have to get creative. And it worries me because that's not been his, he's not shown, the ability to do that. Hopefully that adjusts. How about we talk about a little Dallas Cowboys real quick, huh? How great is this? All right. Now, for his first 4 years, Dak Prescott did not miss a football game. All right. 16, 17, 18, 19. He's in there at all 16 games. However, 2020 breaks the, you know, the ankle when it was all turned the wrong way. And he missed, I think, 11 games that year. Last year, he's back to full slate, but now here we go again. Now he breaks his thumb and now he's going to miss up to 8 weeks. So, what was his greatest strength, really? Because let's be honest, it's not like he's, we can, you know, people can call all of us here biased as much as we want. I don't think any of us are being ridiculous when we say that Dak Prescott, without Amari Cooper, is really not that great of a quarterback. Okay. And now, you know, so his most value, his greatest attribute was his availability, his toughness, right? He was out there. He'd take the hits. You know, he was available. Something at Maria. Thank you. Right there. Perfect. Love it. Something we learned the hard way with Carson Wentz is what? Your most valuable attribute is your availability. And if you're not in the field, you're not worth a shit. So here comes Dak. Now he's going to miss up to half the freaking year. And, you know, he's only about another season away from looking for another contract. Yeah. So Dallas paid him all that money a few years ago, but that's coming due again. And like, where, I don't know that Dallas at this point, you know, since that contract, he's now missed, you know, I mean, yikes. So you're going to talk over a three. So let's just say Dak missed, let's say he misses 8 games. Okay. Plays the rest. So he's going to play 9 games this year. 10 if you include yesterday. No, 9. He missed, so yeah, so that's missing 8 this year. He missed 11 2 years ago. That's 19 games over a 3-year stretch. That is not a reliable quarterback anymore. Okay. His first 4 years, yes. His last three, two of the last three, no. The one in between? Yeah, last season he was there all 16 games. What do we got here? How about Jerry Jones saying he's not putting Dak on the IL? Strange move. Yeah, it's strange, but like, I look, they still don't have, if you look at their depth chart, let me pull that up because I want to crack some jokes about their freaking receivers here in a minute. At last I looked, the Dallas Cowboys, I don't believe, actually had a third string quarterback on that roster. They do not. So it's Cooper Rush. And I don't even know who the hell their emergency quarterback is. They're going to have to sign somebody if they haven't already. And maybe this just hasn't updated yet. But right now, you're looking at Cooper Rush and Dak, you know, and Dak is out. So I do find that a little odd that he's not being put on the IL. Whatever. You know, Jerry can go, dude, Jerry, you go ahead and be Jerry. I got no trouble. No trouble with it at all. But it's not just the Dak thing, right? So Dak's out. So now Cooper Rush is going to start. There are Bengal fans by the thousands out here. And I personally heard from about 10 or 12 of them who have all told me that they are going to throw themselves off the Brent Spence Bridge here in Cincinnati if the Bengals lose to Cooper Rush. But what I try to tell them is, look, it's not just Cooper Rush, okay? I mean, this should be a get-right game for the Bengals. Look, that was a disaster on Sunday. Joe Burrow was awful. I don't know when the last time he had a game that bad, if he ever had it. What do we got here from Sam? He's already had surgery. They're looking at 4 weeks. If they put him on injured reserve, he can't practice to help out. Yeah, yeah. 4 weeks. I know. They said 6 to 8, and you hear 4. I mean, he's going to miss time, and it's enough to really mess up what was already going to be a very questionable season. And here are the reasons why. So you have CeeDee Lamb. Okay. The kid can make plays. There's no doubt about it. Is he a true number one receiver? I don't know that anybody was going to be able to answer that question right now. And especially with Cooper Rush throwing to him, I still don't think you're getting an answer to that question. Michael Gallup is still listed as questionable. He's not coming back yet. The last I heard was there. Don't expect him to play week two. Noah Brown. Noah, so here's the rest of their receivers on active receivers on their depth chart. Noah Brown, Dennis Houston, Kevontae Turpin, Simi Fehoko, and Jalen Tolbert. And then you have James Washington on the IR. This is almost like where we crack jokes on Tuesday night, Sam, where it's like, who the hell are these fucking guys? I mean, now, defensively, they can still be strong, but I mean, you know, that defense is going to get gassed really bad because I don't see this offense being able to keep them off the field. Look, Zeke is not the Zeke that they had a few years ago. Jerry Jones can come out there in his past offseason and say all he wants about how he wants the running game to continue to revolve around Zeke. He's not that guy anymore. Pollard at times looks better. He's definitely the better pass catcher out of the backfield. And then behind him, Rico Dowdle, no third-string quarterback listed, you know. And even before, so even if he only misses a month, Dak, how good is he really? Before he gets hurt on Sunday, he was 14 of 29, 134 yards, and an interception. No touchdowns, one interception. 2 carries for 11 yards, which I'm guessing were scrambles. Because, by the way, the Dallas offensive line is hot dumpster juice as well. Their running game is a mess like we talked about. We talked about their receivers. Just, you know, there's no depth there. They happen to be the only team to not score a touchdown in week one. Their 3 points came on a 51-yard field goal. So, we them boys. All right. Who else do we have in our division here? Ah, the Giants. The Giants who are going to be full of themselves here all week long. The Giants who are going to tell us all that Saquon Barkley is back to being the Saquon he was a few years ago, you know, when he first came in the league. The Giants who got a win over a Tennessee team that they shouldn't have gotten a win over. However, I think this is more indicative of the kind of odd first week of the season that we saw. Okay, do I think the Rams are as bad as a 31-10 blowout? No, I don't. Do I think the Giants are better than the Titans? No, I don't. I'm a Penn State fan, and do I think that Saquon Barkley is back to being the guy he was, pre-injuries and, basically having to play for the Giants for all this time? No, I don't. 18 carries, 164 yards, and a touchdown to go along with six catches and 30 yards. He also had a two-point conversion. Great game for Saquon, no doubt. But I do think it's more indicative of just the kind of, it's the first week of the season. Guys are still trying to get their feet under him. I don't expect it to last. Blues Clues went 17 of 21, 188 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked five times. So he's still not, their offensive line is still bad. He's not sensing when the pocket is breaking down. He's obviously not the answer for the Giants. I'm not going to get into the commodes. I really just don't want to talk about that Ginger F, Ronald McDonald, whatever the hell you want to call him. I just don't. It left such a foul taste in my mouth the way it ended here, the way it ended with Philadelphia, that I don't want to even acknowledge. I just want the birds to smash his Ginger F ass. That's all I want. Okay? I want him nervous. I want him tiptoeing around. I want him trying to scramble and make too big of a play because against Philly, he's going to want to, look at me, look at me, look what you gave up. And I want them to knock his face in the dirt. That's what I want. And until I get that, I'm not talking about the damn Redskins or commodes or whatever the hell you want to call them. Oh, what do we got over here? Lou Mancini, I heard Dak really got hurt reaching for the crispix. He's trying to get him down for Kyler. David Kalafut, Bengals by 7.5. I don't know what the spread is, bud. I really don't. Wayne Miller, he'll come back for the Eagles game and we'll put him right back on the sidelines. I like it. Very good. Fito, free Saquon. Samantha, that sounded. Why are you so perverted? Love you. I do think the Commies will finish above the Calgary. I do. I agree. I think it's birds, commodes, girls, Giants. I think that's the division. That's just kind of the way I see it. And now, especially now, missing Dak. Not that I think he's all that great anyways, but he's got to be better than Cooper Rush. So even if he misses 4 weeks, they could conceivably go 0-4 in those 4 weeks and be 0-5, and you're toast. Your season's done. Provided we do our thing. So, one final thing on the NFL. I want to talk a little bit about the Denver Broncos. Sam, Tuesday nights, I've been up on, yeah, Maria. Boy, we are on the same page. Boom. I'm just getting to it. Very nice. Sam, I've been on, I like Russell Wilson to Denver. Okay. I thought that roster is solid. They're ready to win. They need the quarterback, and I think Russ can be that guy. I think Russ played a fine game on Monday night. Both their running backs fumbled inside the 5 yard line or inside the 10 yard line. So if those things don't happen, who the hell knows? But look, Nathaniel Hackett, and thank you for Maria. I thought I was going to be the only one on this, but the head coach in Denver, you got a 4th and 5. And instead of having Russell Wilson, one of the best quarterbacks in football, a pretty talented group of receivers and running backs around him. Russell Wilson, a guy who has had a propensity for being a fourth quarter comeback type of guy in his career. How many times he's converted to 4th and 5 in his career? I don't have that deep of a stat, but I'd imagine it's happened at least a few times. It's got to be more times. It's got to be a higher percentage anyways than the 2 times a 64-yard field goal has been made since 1960. It's got to be a better percentage than McManus's 1 for 8 in 60-plus-yard field goal attempts. It's got to be a better call than lining up for a 64-yard field goal in a stadium where the longest field goal ever made is 56 yards. Look, I get it. McManus has a big leg. But 60-plus, he's 1 for 8. So you can kick it a mile, but if you can't get it through the sticks, what does it matter? I felt that play call was very odd. However, most coaches, and let's use McCarthy in Dallas as an example here, when Dak scrambled last year, and we all got a big laugh out of that, you know, because they couldn't get the ball snapped and, you know, didn't have another shot. Ha, ha, ha. And McCarthy, of course, gets just attacked months afterwards, weeks afterwards. And he continued to defend the decision. And his defense of it, to give you an idea of how ridiculous some NFL coaches will be, his defense of it, with 14 seconds left, the scramble is a 13-yard window. So, yeah, I felt like that was the right call. With your playoff life on the line, you feel that a one-second play is, you know, 1 second, give or take either way, is enough, you know, wiggle room for you. I mean, come on, dude. Just admit the fact that it was a bad call, things didn't go your way, and you lost the game. Nope, couldn't do that. However, back to Nathaniel Hackett. He, right in the middle, I mean, they, of course, you know, why the hell did you kick a 64-yard field goal? And he just fell on the sword. And I loved it. Yeah, going back to look at that, we probably should have gone for it. We probably should have gone for it. That's what you, give me some honesty, man. That was beautiful. I wish more guys would do that. But unfortunately, we don't get a whole lot of that. We get more of the McCarthy crap where these guys are too arrogant to admit they made a mistake. Just a couple of minutes left here, y'all. I did want to throw one funny thing out about college football before I give you an update on some fantasy football stuff, and then we call it a night. Last week, Appalachian State got paid $1.25 million to play number 6 Texas A&M. Last week, Marshall, the Thundering Herd, got paid $1.5 million to play Notre Dame, number 9 Notre Dame. So a combined $2.75 million was spent for two top 10 teams to get knocked off by two horribly unranked. And when one of them's Notre Dame, I just can't even stand myself. It's too much fun for me. I wanted to throw that out there. I thought you guys would get a kick out of that. One final thing I do have. My 12-year-old wanted to play fantasy football this year. And in order to control the draft date and time, the only way to really do that was to start our own league. Now, I haven't played fantasy football since 2015. My work schedule got crazy, 3 kids and stuff. When I wasn't at work, I didn't really want to have to be bothered with setting lineups and stuff. I just wanted to enjoy my time with my family, enjoy my time watching football, blah, 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 blah. Well, in order to fill the league, I had to get myself and my whole family in there. So the only one in my house that's not in there is my daughter. And I can tell you now, she doesn't give a shit about sports at all. And I'm okay with that. The league is, you know, you got the East Division, where it's my wife, my 2 sons, myself, and my friend Greg. And then we have the West Division, which is, if it would pull up here and stop being a pain in the ass, which I named my team Deshaun in 60 seconds, by the way, which I thought was funny. The West is Russ Taylor, my friend Doug from a longtime friend Doug, my friend Jay, who I've known since I was a kid, and then Desiree, and this knucklehead right here is also in that division. Fito.
Let's go Niners.
Let's go Niners.
I got to get it out of my system. Sorry about that. what a rough week, man. What's up, brother?
Not much, man. Just about to wrap it up here. I saw you popped in.
Yeah, I figured I'd put my 2 cents in there about the fantasy football league that you're running, man.
Yeah, so just to let everyone know before he starts patting himself on the back, Fito auto-drafted and ended up scoring more points this week than anyone else in the league. I happened to lose to my 15-year-old son. My wife beat my 12-year-old, and so on and so forth.
You know, if Desi and I, we were so upset, we were on our way to a camping trip last week when Maribel kept reminding us, hey, it's draft time, it's draft time. We're like, yeah, yeah, we know, we know. We're just driving down the highway. We get to the campsite. We're like, oh, my God, we forgot to draft.
I saw you sign into the draft room, like, right when it ended.
Right. Oh, so bad, man. But, hey, I mean, I locked in Steelers defense. I got Saquon Barkley as my running back.
Yeah, I don't know how much I'd bank on those two going forward, but.
They did pretty good, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get it. But that's especially Steelers D. T.J. Watt looks like he might be done.
Yeah. I think I'm up against Michelle this week.
Yes, you are. Yep.
Yeah.
So, please don't take it easy on her.
No. Going in hard, brother. Going in hard, man. Having fun with that already. So.
Oh, look at that. Aiden jumps in here. Aiden, or Andrew. Andrew McGuire. I thought it said Aiden McGuire. Andrew McGuire. I'm worried about the Eagles defense because of Gannon. Yeah. We covered that kind of more towards the beginning of the show, but you're right. You know, I agree with you. I think he's too vanilla. I think his play calling stinks. And I think until he starts dialing up some blitzes and puts these talented defensive players that we went and got him in a position to make plays, I think it could be trouble. That's my one worry coming out of week one. The rest of it, I'm really not that concerned with.
Sounds like Shanahan call playing towards the end of the game. Cause, I mean, defense did good in the first half. They kept, the Bears at zero. And then obviously all hell broke loose on our end and they started scoring on us. But Shanahan score play, or play calling gets a little out of hand. He looks scared all the time. But so I know how you feel, bro.
So. For us, we're talking about Gannon as the defensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For you guys, look, that field was a swamp. Okay?
Oh, God, monsoon, brother.
That's one of those ones where you go and you look at the field and you're like, well, shit, man, this game could go either way. However, dude, you can't lose to the Bears.
Bro, 100 yards in penalties killed us.
Yeah, that's ugly shit, brother. Like you can't lose to the Bears.
Yeah, the Bears.
Yeah, the Bears. Oh, there's Lou. Lou saying hi to Michelle. Oh, that's not. Oh, Dave jumps in here. Niners offense had plenty of opportunities if Lance wasn't a tool. I think you and Dave don't really see eye to eye there. I think you're a Lance guy. I know Dave is not.
I'm a Niner guy.
I
don't care who's on the helm. I vote, you know, I hope that the whole team does well. I definitely like Jimmy Garoppolo over Trey Lance. But you know, what are they going to do? I'm not the coach of the team. I'm just going to root for my team and hopefully they win.
That's it. Sometimes you just got to root for the laundry, right?
Yep. Yeah, oh yeah.
Like being a Yankee fan, you bring in Roger Clemens. I fucking hated him the whole time he was in Pinstripes, but I got to root for the laundry.
Right, right. I mean, he went 13 for 28, 155 yards, a little bit better than Justin Fields. Not too bad.
When you look at the two teams, dude, I mean, the Bears are bad.
They suck.
The Bears are a bad football team. And but again, like, look, man, first of all, it's week one. I think there was a lot of crap that happened this week that you're not going to see continue over the course of the season. You may still see some of it next week. I think a lot of these players would tell you, like, you know, we got to get 4 weeks in to really get our shit under us here.
Right.
You know, but then take also into effect that field in Chicago was a monster. It was a swamp. I mean, it was terrible. They were showing the rain before the game. I mean, that game was, I'm looking at it like, damn. Like, I'm glad I wasn't. I don't want to watch anything that's going on there. Christ.
I was down at the softball field, you know, running the league down there on Sunday. So I had my tablet playing, on the sideline there watching it, kind of like glancing over. I kind of screamed at the tablet a few times. People were like, the hell's wrong with this guy? You know,
but, so what? So who won?
You had, the two top tier teams losing.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude. So, it was Breaking Bats beat. The Swingers, and then you have Pirates beat the Avengers, and Swingers won it last year. So they went down in the first round, and then unfortunately Pablo's beat Whiskey Hill in the first round. No big deal, but we're going to be coming back strong this week in the loser bracket. So
yeah, very good.
We shall see.
Yeah, you didn't let Kenny like no hit you guys or anything, did you?
Yeah, no. It was raining all day, so you know, the freaks didn't come out.
Yeah, I figured. Well, I saw the weather going on. I figured you weren't going to be able to get the stream going. So
yeah, the weather
save that for next year.
Yeah, the weather looks better this weekend, so hopefully we'll be able to.
Yeah, here too. It's gonna be like 90 degrees. I'm pissed.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, by the way, I'm gonna be petty. I have to be petty.
Uh-oh.
You know, that comment last week that you made, that Quimby, I'm actually going to call out Quimby on this one, where, he might cut me off of this feed right now, right? where you mentioned that he said that the San Francisco 49er fans are the worst fans in the NFL.
Yep.
So I started digging a little bit, started looking around. I slept on it a little bit, started getting on NFL.com and looking at Bleacher Reports and stuff like that.
This is based on him running trips to these stadiums for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
So, and what he'll tell you, so the other thing he'll tell you is he goes, the Dallas fans in Dallas are actually decent. He goes, it's the Dallas fans that live in Philly or, you know, wherever else that are the assholes. And he's not wrong. I spent most of my summer of 2015 working down there, and he's not wrong. Most of the folks in that area were actually really cool, even though I was walking around wearing green. So,
yeah, I was going to say, because it's Dallas fans don't even like Dallas fans. They're like the worst.
I don't know. Well, they're just – you know what they are, man, and I hate to say it, but there's that team in every sport, the Cowboys, the Yankees, the Lakers and Celtics. You know, Duke basketball. Yeah, those fan bases a lot of times have similarities.
Yeah,
it's a lot of very fickle type of shit. But I don't know. They never really buy me. The tailgate that he usually runs down in Dallas, usually a joint tailgate. So it's Birds fans and Dallas fans. So there's like 1,500 people at this thing. It's fucking insane.
Oh, okay. So there's some camaraderie there.
Yeah. And speaking of tailgates and stuff, damn it, I didn't do it right after my kind of opening little monologue thing that I've been trying to tweak every week. But trips and tailgates, everyone out there listening. Look, sign up while you can, okay? If you want a chance to come out and see the wife and I, we're going to be in Arizona in 3 weeks. We will be in Indianapolis the weekend before Thanksgiving. And, of course, any of your tailgates, your home away trip and or tailgate, of your choice, just go to greenlegion.com, trips and tailgates, and book away. As long as it doesn't say sold out, folks, go ahead and go for it. Yeah, we're looking forward to that. 3 weeks from Friday, we fly to Phoenix. So that sounds like fun, bro. That's going to be a blast. Yep. So Saturday night, part of the routine is going to be, we're going to a midget bar.
Midget tossing?
No, just a midget bar. Like it's all midgets working there. I guess there's like a swing that they get on and you can push them and shit.
Oh yeah.
It'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Midget toss. I've always wanted to go watch midget toss. Yeah. I want to see huge humans throw tiny humans.
You'll be surprised. They're dense people. They're heavy. I worked.
It's because of that giant forehead, ain't it? What the fuck?
Bro, I used to work a strip club here in Milford. Remember the old Keepers?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I worked there, as a door guy for about 2 years. And, every year they had their annual midget tossing. The guy was from Vegas too. He'd come out there. I forget his last name. It's Mike something. Anyways, he came out, we would set up these air mattresses, on a platform, and then you can, you know, pick him up and throw him. He would wear like this harness and everything. And you would think it's the funniest thing, right? It would take two or three people to pick this guy up. He was heavy and he was small, you know, not too wide or whatever, but dense. I mean, think about 160 pounds at, you know, at 4 foot, it's hard to pick up and throw, you know? So it's funny, but at the same time, man, you can blow your back out, bro.
Oh, I'm not a big enough guy to go try that. I just want to watch it. I want to see big, huge, you know, big old like Texas overall wearing dudes grabbing these little fuckers by their belt loop in the back of their shirt and just, do they do it like shot put? I always wonder, do they spin around and throw them? Or is it kind of,
they don't like to be thrown. I'm with you on that, bro. I'd rather watch.
I just want to sit there and drink a few beers and watch. I think that'd be hysterical.
Oh, you're going to have a blast, man, for real.
Yeah. Arizona should be fun. So, I mean, I know, and it's a huge trip. I think they're pushing like 1,000 people on that one now. So,
oh, wow.
That's going to be a big, big trip. Yep. It's going to be a lot of fun. But I'm almost an hour and 15 in here. So you got any final thoughts, brother? Because I'm about to
just a quick shout out to the truck drivers out there. I know I was talking to Keenan and David on there. It is Trucker Appreciation Week. You know, we appreciate you guys on the highway. Give us a little bit of space on the highway. If you're going to cut us off, give us a little bit more room because our braking distance is not fun. So, you know, it's not easy carrying 25 tons down the highway.
No doubt.
We appreciate everyone giving us a shout out, but, you know, just like I said before, you stop trucks, you stop America. And, I appreciate all the truck drivers out there.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true and very well said. For some of you that don't understand that industry, I work on the other side of it. So I'm in your logistics and warehouse side of it. And so the trouble we have now is so we ship a lot of refrigerated loads. And for those of you that aren't aware, for every refrigerated trailer you see on the road, there should be anywhere from 8 to 15 refrigerated loads in that truck if we were able to get everything moved when it had to be moved. So the amount of pressure that these men are under out there on the road, I know sometimes they can drive like jagoffs, I get it, but they are under a lot of heat. They're under a lot of pressure. So give them the space. Fito's right. Give them the space, give them the room, and let them do their job, or we don't have milk. We don't have food. Yeah, we just, you know, it's, you know, I've said it for forever. When the gas prices go up, everything else goes up because that industry controls everything. So,
yeah, and most importantly, cars are way faster than us. You can accelerate better than us. You can brake better than us. So just stay away from us. Just if you see a truck, either pass them or stay behind them. Don't drive near us. Don't drive near our bumper or our blind spots.
I do got one request though. You can spread this around to all your truck driving buddies. When we're on a 2-lane highway.
Oh God. Here we go.
And there's a truck doing 55 in the right lane and you want to do 55 and a half. Wait until it's clear and then move over. Okay. Because I can't tell you how many times this jerk off will literally swerve over and cut in and I've got nobody behind me. And now it takes him 10 minutes to pass the other truck next to him. Meanwhile, here I am.
Well, that's the thing. Traffic patterns, they change so fast on us, and it's hard for us to make those maneuvers. But I understand what you mean. Is that a 2-lane highway or 3-lane?
Two. 3-lane highway, there's no excuse. You guys shouldn't be in the 3-lane going that fast anyways.
No, I hear you. I do the same thing.
But 2-lane highway, you know, 3-lane highway, nobody's got an excuse. You can always go around the truck.
Yeah, a good truck driver will move only for a state trooper or another truck driver. Everybody else, go around. Sorry. It's just an inside thing we do. You know, I've been driving 25 years, bro. I'm proud of what I do. I'm able to provide for my family. And, you know, it's a lucrative, business and a great career for anyone that's, you know, willing to jump on it. Long days behind the wheel of a truck. You can make some great money, but there is a lot of stress involved with it. So,
for sure,
every possibility.
Well, and it's got to be even more now with all the people and their distracted driving because everybody's got their damn phone in their hand. I mean, that's got to drive
everyone
absolutely nuts.
Every single person that goes by has their phone up, even state troopers. Every single person.
That would, especially being behind the wheel of something that big, and knowing what it, you know, I mean, I don't do it, but I know enough of you where That would drive me nuts. It would drive me absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
That's
all I got
for you,
brother.
I'm with you. I'm with you there for sure, man. So that's kind of everything I had for this week. Fito, thanks for popping back on again, man. It's always good to see you.
You too, brother.
Everybody in the room, you know, David Califoot, David Connett, Keenan, Russ, Lou Dominguez dropped in right here at the end here. Maria, Maria.
Whiskey Hill, baby.
Yeah, Maria can't win with 100 yards and penalties. Yeah, she was on it tonight, too. She was, her and I were on the same page. Andrew, my wife, Michelle, Wayne Miller, Super Sam, and the rest of the
Sam.
Little Obi out there in Pennsylvania, my man, Mark Boyd. We had a good room tonight. It was nice. Like interacting with all the, I hadn't interacted much with them over the last couple of weeks, you know, 2 weeks ago with Sam and then last week with you. So I wanted to make sure I gave them all the love this week. But guys, thank you very much for coming on in. Fito, thanks for dropping on by again, brother.
All right, brother.
You take care and, we'll talk
to
all of you.
Quick shout out.
Go ahead.
Quick shout out to my wife who's watching. We are celebrating our 10th anniversary today.
I made sure I talked shit about that earlier. As soon as I'm not in Facebook jail anymore, I'm going to make sure I leave the comment that she's a saint for dealing with your ass for 10 years.
Oh, yeah, 10 years. So.
All right, y'all. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. This has been the Unhappy Gilmore Show, part of the Green Legion Radio family. And I will see you next Wednesday. Go Birds.